Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, long eggers, synesthesiacs.
Yeah. Yes.
Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore here for the Luke and Pete Show, doing our thing in an extremely hot room.
186, baby.
Yeah, you're wearing a normal green t-shirt and I'm wearing a rather sweaty football shirt.
Yeah, so I don't get this. I mean, Charlie, our colleague, does this as well. You guys wear football shirts to do everyday tasks. To me, it feels strange.
Yeah, you say that it gets too sweaty, but
it's just an uncomfortable thing to be wearing.
Yeah. Maybe I just don't work as hard as you on the football field. In fact, I almost guarantee I don't.
I don't play football anymore.
Oh,
I lost the game. Why have you? I was thinking about coming back to and playing again.
Right.
And then I watched a video you did for the Football Republic recently where you ate loads of spicy chili sauce and talked about it. And you said, you described me as awful and terrible.
I said everyone was awful and terrible apart from Marcus.
Yeah, but that's still saying I'm still included in that.
Yeah, exactly. But so next to Marcus, we are awful and terrible. Marcus is very good at football.
I had that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just while I was getting ready to go and play a game, a charity game, yeah, to raise a lot of money. I had my boots in one hand, my kit in the other, and my wife was like, "Are you looking forward to the game?"
Yeah, I really am.
Yeah.
Let me just watch this video.
I'm just going to finish off this video with my friend and colleague Pete, who I respect. And then you said that, and I just dropped it.
Yeah.
Burst into tears. My wife had to call the charity and said I couldn't play anymore. And the charity then said,
"Folding."
This is the charity's words, not mine. Yeah. Don't shoot the messenger. We simply cannot continue raising money for sick children if you don't attend. We'll be having words with Mr. Pete Donaldson. So that's why, in a nutshell, I don't wear football shirts anymore.
That's why I don't read emails, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That messed up my guts for some days.
So describe to people what you did.
On the internet, there is a TV show or a show called, I think, Hot Sauce.
Hot Ones.
And Football Republic, a internet football startup, have ripped it off and ripped off the idea where they get people to eat hot food. Hot wings in the original, but they've modified it to pork pies dipped in hot sauce, which I love a pork pie.
Yeah.
Bloody love a hot pie, pork pie. A little bit of spicy chutney, lovely old job.
It's the idea that you eat the really hot chili sauce and it gets steadily hotter and hotter and you have to answer questions about your football team.
Exactly. Or just be able to talk or process information, which I find difficult at the
best. But how hot was it?
Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, it just knocked my guts out for 4 or 5 days. It was disgusting.
Really?
It was like my stomach just constantly going...
Did you not try and cheat it just by having
Monday.
A tiny little bit?
No, I did that thing where you cheat and you put it... I didn't do a Homer Simpson and fill my mouth with wax.
Yeah.
I put it at the back of my mouth, which seems to alleviate some of the pain from the heat. But it's just unconscionable.
It's probably not good for your taste buds, like that.
No, unconscionable.
It always reminds me of the story, possibly apocryphal, possibly told before on this show, but we're nothing if not repetitive, about Richard Madeley.
Right.
On This Morning. Have I told you that story?
No.
So, you know, when I don't know if they still do it. I think it's presented by Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby now, but that show This Morning, and it's like a magazine kind of sofa show, right?
Mm.
In the mid-morning. And it used to be Richard and Judy.
Yeah.
And Richard Madeley, who we all know about. If you're listening to this from overseas, he's this kind of Alan Partridge type character.
Yeah.
Who does this. He's just weird. Anyway, I'm sure he's a lovely chap, but he's a strange guy. But he's always trying to be sort of cool and down with the kids. And apparently they were doing the link before the ad break and then they were throwing to a cooking part of the show. They have like a cooking part of the show, like a live recipe type thing. And so they did the link, they threw to the ad, which is like 3 minutes, and Madeley moseyed over there, and they were doing a bit on hot sauce. And they had this hot sauce, I forget what it's called now, but the idea of it was you put one drop of it in a casserole to spice it. I mean, that's how
important it is.
That's the dilution we're talking about. And apparently Madeley went straight over there, teaspoon straight in his gob. And he's got like 2 minutes to recover before they come back from the ads.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I think they had to sack it off. I think Judy had to go solo because he was in real trouble.
And then her bra fell out.
Yeah. That was weird, wasn't it?
That was
strange. What was the story with that? She was presenting an award or something.
Was it like the Brits or something? They were presenting some pretty, maybe a TV award or something. And she had a dress malfunction, her.
But was it done on purpose?
Bosoms. Why would it have been done on purpose?
Bit of PR?
They were the most famous wife husband duo in the country.
Janet Jackson did it with Justin Timberlake, and they're very famous.
They did do that, yeah.
I think it could have been done on purpose.
Why would it have been done?
I told
done
you,
on
PR.
She's a woman of advancing age with a not necessarily flattering bra on, and just bang, out come the whappers.
Yeah.
Get a load of these, world.
Get the PR line out.
What's the age of loaded, I suppose?
Check these busters out every weekday from 10. I wouldn't be surprised. It was the 90s, wasn't it?
So weird. No, it was later than that. But either way, yeah, nobody's doing that.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, what I was going to say was...
You were thinking about Judy Finnegan's boobigans.
There was a lady called Judy Finnegan. She had whiskers on her chin again. The wind came along and blew them in again. Poor old Judy Finnegan.
Begin again. You've got to start again, haven't you?
Yeah, you got to do it again. It's the song that never ends. For those of you who want to get in touch, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com.
Have you ever shown anyone your bra?
This is episode 186. It's Thursday, the 18th of July. And that's what I was going to say to you.
Right.
So on Monday, I've got two things to talk about. But I'll do the first one first.
Okay.
On Monday, I said I didn't even get to tell you what I did on Friday.
I know what you did on Friday. I don't know what you did on Friday. I was working.
I watched I Know What You Did Last Summer with Jennifer Love Hewitt. No. I went to go and see Bob Dylan and Neil Young at Hyde Park.
Oh, yes. I've heard reviews, and they are very similar to other reviews I've heard of Dylan.
It's really interesting, I think. I love Neil Young, and I love Bob Dylan. Legends.
Did you buy a Pono?
No, he sacked it off, hasn't he?
Did you buy a Pono, though?
You can give it now.
The big licks and I love Neil Young.
Yeah.
Did you support his lossless compression MP3 player?
I only listen to music on Pono, and the only music I listen to is Neil Young's early 80s electronic record, Trans. Have you heard Trans?
No.
Trans is an amazing album.
Right.
It's like a record he said he made for his kids, which is possibly true. I mean, I don't know. He made it in 1982. But you know when suddenly loads of people, whether they be filmmakers, writers, musical artists, in the early 80s, just got really into the idea of the future.
Yeah.
Like the 80s idea of what the future was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Neil Young made Trans.
Modern futurism.
And part of the reason I love it is because it was just so different to anything else he'd ever done. And people who love Neil Young then were chucked into this weird, kind of nightmare where they had to decide whether they liked it or not and then defend it to other people.
Was it a bit like Little Space Boy, you know, the kind of like stuff he did with the Pet Shop Boys?
Yeah, but it's much more severe than that. Because David Bowie was interested in I guess, drum and bass and 90s music and electronic stuff. Neil just went off on one. the songs are called, like, We Are In Control.
Oh, no.
And Computer Age. And for example, there's like an 8-minute song called Sample and Hold.
Nice.
It's just loads of weird stuff going on.
He's had a deal with Akihabara.
Having said that, people say that it's actually stood the test of time. And it's actually quite interesting to listen to now. And Neil has always had this sort of streak in him where he's really rebellious. Like he released like a 50s inspired doo-wop boogie woogie like rock and roll album called Everybody's Rockin', just to get out of his record deal.
Oh, nice.
The last album he had to do.
Everybody's Rockin'.
Yeah. Look at him on the front. Look, he's taking the piss. Look, he looks like Shakin' Stevens on the front, right? So he's got a history of just doing really weird stuff on purpose.
And I just thought he'd got like a new sample set for his keyboard. I've got some boogie woogie.
So Pono was noises. A big thing of him trying to make a high definition MP3 type player, saying that he was upset that people were listening to reduced quality songs.
Yeah.
So he wanted to crowdfund and make it. I mean, he's probably worth about 100 million. Crowdfunded it anyway.
Yeah.
It bombed, but He loves things like trains and cars. And to be fair to him, I think he's got two disabled sons, Neil. And I think part of the reason he wanted to make trans is because he wanted to sort of stimulate their senses as well. So right. it was kind of a noble thing. But he played on Friday night at Hyde Park with Bob Dylan.
Did he play any trans tracks?
No, he didn't. Right. But here's an interesting slant on how powerful artists of that level are.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard the story? Yeah, I'll tell people listening just very quickly, just in case you haven't heard it. So Barclaycard sponsor British Summertime. Mm. They whoever booked the shows booked Neil Young and Bob Dylan. So Neil Young playing, then Bob Dylan after headlining. Neil Young got wind that Barclaycard was sponsoring it, and Neil wasn't very happy with Barclaycard's record when it comes to the environment. Said they were fossil fuel investing dickheads or something, right? The whole thing was going to go to shit. Barclaycard stepped aside.
Hmm. Well,
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I mean, stepped aside, I was like, well, we don't have a show otherwise, and, you know, we're going to lose a lot more money than sponsorship and the advertising you're going to make out of that.
But if that was like Bombay Bicycle Club, it'd be like, well, don't play it then.
Yeah,
some people find someone else.
Oh, yeah, massively.
They can't do that because it's Neil Young.
Well, the main hitters, they're the big hitters, you know.
And I will say this about Neil Young. The songs he performed on Friday night were in the same postcode as what you hear on the record. Bob Dylan was up after.
No.
And although he's a legend, and it's enough for many people just to be in the presence of Nobel laureate Bob Dylan, one, the greatest songwriter to ever live, probably, certainly in the Western world. Some people may have a problem with that, but I think he's part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And as Tiger Woods said when he was asked, is he the greatest golfer of all time? He said, all you can ask is to be a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Bob Dylan is a part of that conversation. And so for many people, it's enough for them just to hear him or see him. The interpretation of the songs, I'm going to say, and I'm going to be generous here because I had a lovely time. I was about four pints of Pimm's down by the time Bob Dylan came on. Problematic.
Yeah.
People are in the crowd, Pete, Googling
what song it is. Yeah. And he honky-tonks on the old piano, doesn't he?
Yeah, but at least when you go and see Brian Wilson, who's gone, he's got an amazing, and of course, Bob Dylan and Neil Young have amazing bands around them. Neil Young's band is the son of Willie Nelson, Promise of the Real. They're a good band. Mm. Bob Dylan's got an amazing band, obviously, because they've been touring nonstop since the 80s. Brian Wilson's band is the Wonderments, and he just comes out. He acknowledges that people are just there to see him, and he just tunes in every so often when he wants, and everyone else does everything else.
He sure talks a bit like this.
Yeah.
Hello, Glastonbury.
So we had a lovely time. But it was strange to hear Bob again for the third time singing in that fashion.
Remix, he's just remixing, constantly remixing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you enjoy that?
No, I've heard it's dreadful, constantly dreadful. Though I did buy tickets, but I couldn't go because I was working at a festival.
You know that people, music critics, get themselves in the right old tears.
Yeah. I imagine they find, they don't, I reckon there was a lot of music people who were probably in the golden circle for this gig. And they didn't know what the hell to write. They'd be like, oh, do I say this is good? Or do I say this is an abomination? Which it probably was closer to.
So no one, the thing is, no one gives Bob Dylan, whether it be a live show, a new record, or whatever, bad reviews. It just doesn't happen. Okay. He's got to the point now where he's above. You know, the royal family famously don't sue anyone for libel.
Yeah.
They see themselves as like above it. They don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
That's sort of like Bob Dylan. Right. Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Bruce Springsteen, the late David Bowie, they just never get bad reviews.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Because I think people don't
realize
want to
their
be,
importance.
They're a sacred cow. Yeah. People don't want to slay them. Mm. So that's why it doesn't happen. So there's no point reading reviews unless you're interested in what went on. There's no point getting some kind of critical assessment of it because it's impossible. But I had a lovely time anyway.
Well, I was at Nozzle Live watching.
So you're in Lisbon, right?
Bands.
You're in Lisbon?
Bands of less repute. I was in Lisbon again. I love a bit of Lisbon, it seems. But yeah, beautiful festival, Nozzle Live. It seems.
Regularly find yourself there.
My second Nozzle Live. I can't remember who Blumen headlined. Oh, The Cure headlined on the Friday. They were very good. Saturday, now who headlined Saturday? Vampire Weekend did Saturday.
Of course.
And then Sunday was the Smashing Pumpkins. Got a bit of time with Billy Corgan.
What was that like?
Billy Corgan's always very nice to me.
Because people think of him as being a bit strange, don't they?
He is a bit strange.
He loves wrestling, doesn't he?
Yeah, he loves wrestling.
Just talk about wrestling with him.
I did talk about wrestling. I asked him his opinion on Cody Rhodes' new AEW outfit, and he's like, yeah, I used to work with him on NWA, and what's the other one? WCW? No, it wasn't. Who's the one?
Oh, Extreme Challenge. ECW, maybe?
Yeah, what was the one that was on Challenge?
Can't remember.
Either way, one of the outfits he was involved in, because obviously Billy Corgan owns NWA, and he sort of said, I'm pleased he's managed to reinvent himself as like this sort of businessman. This is Cody Rhodes,
right?
Dusty Rhodes,
Dusty Rhodes' son, yeah.
One of the few, and he's very complimentary. But he said it is very competitive.
Right.
He's lost so much money in wrestling because he absolutely loves it.
So the story is that my impression of Billy Corgan is probably coloured and possibly unfairly coloured, by his reputation when Smashing Pumpkins were making Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, where apparently he was this maniacal dictator.
Oh, he just ran in and go, give me the fucking bass. Yeah, just play it himself.
And apparently he was laying like hundreds of guitar tracks down.
To be fair, I haven't seen Smashing Pumpkins in a little while and I forgot two things. One, Billy Corgan is a fucking great guitarist.
Yeah.
And number two, he's actually quite funny on stage.
Is he?
He's actually quite aloof and I'm not sure
if I like that though, because I think there's certain types of music where I don't want to hear the people speaking in between the songs.
That's the thing. He doesn't speak between the songs.
Well, he does. So he's kind of like Marcel Marceau mime.
He'll just go over to where the big screen is and stand in front of it and look up at himself and then go, "Oh, I'm on the big screen." Thing, which I quite enjoyed. Yeah, I'm a bit of a convert to the live performances of the. Obviously, they're back together as they're almost what they were in the 90s, kind of James Iha. Is it Iha or Iha?
Yeah.
I guess he's of Japanese descent, so it probably would be Iha.
Yeah.
But they're all back together, apart from Darcy, who has gone off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised, because Jimmy Chamberlain went massively off the rails as well. He was had a huge problem with drugs.
But they're all back together. They're all cool. I think that modern music is in a state in which that the only way you can make money is through licensing. And also touring. And so I think that second part has mended a lot of bridges that wouldn't normally be mended
when it
comes to bands splitting up.
Yeah.
And they realise, I can't make any money now.
There's a monetary imperative.
Let's get back together. Yeah. Let's get this horrible band back
and
together.
And the only picture I saw of you from that weekend, last weekend, was a picture of you with Bobby Gillespie on a roof.
Oh, yeah, where he looked like I'd found a crow on the roof.
Yeah.
I really think that he is important in that he's very clued up politically, I think, and he is consistently disappointed with how his ramblings are portrayed, like my good self, I would say.
Right.
And he...
found the kindred spirit.
But his delivery's incredibly slow, so I think people just sort of find him actually quite difficult to listen to. But... I quite like him. I quite like Bobby Gillespie.
I never met the guy.
But again, I don't like his band.
let's have a break, Pete Donaldson.
All right.
And then when we come back, we will come back to the real world and talk about some emails from the listeners.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So basically, what I was thinking of was, oh fuck, I can't believe you've done this.
I can't believe you've done this.
One of the most underrated viral videos on YouTube, I would say. that posh kiddie gets a slap across the head.
Is up there with Bagel Man.
Why is that okay? Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead.
He's angry.
That video ends with him challenging everyone to a fight,
yep,
and someone fighting him and beating him.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you think, yeah, I'd probably fancy myself against him.
Describe to people what's happened.
Everyone will be aware of Bagel Man.
I wasn't aware of him. I'm out of touch.
It's a man in jean shorts and a stripy top getting very upset in a bagel shop about some unrelated matters, his dating life.
He sounds
life
like an
in
incel.
General,
he's far too old to be an incel.
Look, incel knows no boundaries when it comes to age.
What's the upper age limit of an incel?
Oh, mate, I don't know.
Well, you're 30, what, 38?
I'm a celebrated bachelor. It's a different thing.
Confirmed bachelor.
It's a different thing. No, celebrated. Vaunted.
Sorry.
Things. But yeah, he's very upset in a bagel shop. He's hurting. He's clearly hurting. He's not a tall man, and I know that hurt. But he is particularly vivacious with his opinions about his
impassioned
how badly his life is going. And then a man crumples him, and then he goes outside and he's interviewed at various stages by very tall female interviewers because the TV station, that is mean.
So I don't.
And he basically says that he's the new Martin Luther King. That's where his argument falls down a little bit.
Right. Is he assassinated after that? But the thing is, Peter, the only objection I have to this, and I understand it's public domain, so I'm absolutely fine, clearly, with us talking about it.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the idea of sharing photos or videos of people without their consent.
What do you mean? Like, as in?
So if I see a guy who looks a bit funny on the train,
yeah,
I just take a photo surreptitiously.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Share it publicly. Mm. I think that's poor form, isn't it?
No, but but this guy was shouting racist and misogynist stuff in a bagel shop.
So he needs to learn his lesson.
And then he gets a crumpling. But he clearly goes around doing this sort of thing quite a lot. And it's just funny because he's small. But,
can I also say, very briefly,
just a big shame.
That when he challenges a man who's much larger than him to a fight, the man accepts. And Bagel Man crumples like a house of cards. I've never seen a man hit the deck so quickly.
Yeah.
You'd think if you were going to be that forthright in your desire for a fight, you'd have at least partially prepared for it.
Well, he's offering everyone out and then somebody takes the bait. Do you remember that guy, I think Victoria Station, a gargantuan man who was off his face on coke? I'm going to say that now.
Let's make that absolutely
clear.
Let's
say that absolutely clear. He may not have been, but fucking hell, whatever he'd taken must be chemically very close to it.
Yeah.
But he was like offering everyone out. He was going, I'm fucking... Rah, rah, rah.
It was on the video.
It was on the video. He's like, oh, absolutely fucking mental. And he's going, I'm going to fucking do everyone in. Yeah. Nobody was tackling him. And everyone cheered when the police tasered him at London Bridge Station. But
I love the idea of a police officer just going... Nah, fuck that. Get the taser out.
Yeah.
Tasers can be dangerous.
They can, yeah.
Was it Daley Atkinson who was sadly killed after some kind of issue with a taser?
That rings a bell. Yeah, he wasn't very well anyway, though, was he? Yeah,
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah. But, it was... When people get tasered, they really go stiff and go down like a sack of shit.
There was a police chief, was there not, who, to publicly show that tasers were safe, volunteered to be tased.
Right, okay.
I think... Is it tased or tasered?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, one of them.
Tears on Dare, who sang Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, maybe. Should we do an email?
Yeah, all right then.
It's hello@lukeandpeacher.com. For those of you who aren't regular listeners, if you want to send an email in, the reminder email address is hello@lukeandpeacher.com. One chap who's done just that is Jake.
Oh.
Who said, this is quite an interesting one, Peter. I think you'll like this. He says, hi guys, I recently listened to episode 172, so 14 episodes ago now, where you talked about quicksand.
Quicksand.
This reminded me of an experience I had while I was at university. I studied marine biology at the University of Portsmouth. The university has three campuses, the main one in the city centre, Langstone campus on the eastern edge of Portsea Island.
And one in the sea.
And Institute of Marine Science on a peninsula in Langstone Harbour, not far from Langstone campus. One day, I was at the Langstone campus and I had to get to the Institute of Marine Science. Usually it took about 40 minutes to walk between those two campuses. So I know the area quite well, but he's actually helpfully attached a picture.
Okay.
I'll just describe it to you. So it's like that. That one's there, Pete, and that one's there. Right. Water, tidal.
Yeah.
You have to go all the way around or you can go across.
Oh, yes. But you got to do it in a boat.
Well, wait and see what Jake did.
No.
Yeah, he had a wacky idea. Usually it takes about 40 minutes to walk between these two campuses due to the roads doubling back on themselves. Due to its location on the peninsula, I noticed the IMS, the Institute of Marine Science, was just across the bay from where I was, and I thought I could save time by walking across the beach. Tide was out, right?
Okay,
what could go wrong?
Yeah.
I began the seemingly shorter journey, and before long, the shingle began to give way to larger rocks. It was low tide, so when the rocks would normally meet the water, there was just a muddy, silty layer of sediment. Not to be deterred, I began walking across the rocks. As I progressed, these rocks began to be spaced further apart, and I had to jump between them to continue.
Wow.
This reminded me a bit of the scene in the B-movie with Kevin Bacon, Tremors.
Yes.
Where they have to use those big sticks to get between the rocks. Disaster struck when I jumped from a rock onto what I thought was another rock, which turned out to be an area of dry, light-coloured mud. I immediately sank up to my waist. I had my phone in my hand, and not quite being aware of the danger I was in, I casually texted my friend saying I was going to be late to class. It was at this point I felt mud seeping through my shirt, around my belly button, and realised I was quickly sinking.
Oh no!
Thankfully, there was a bush growing on the thin, grassy edge of the bay, and I managed to lean forward so my stomach was flat on the mud and pull myself out using the bush. Years later, as a high school science teacher, I have realised that I increased my surface area, therefore diffusing the pressure across a larger area, which prevented me from sinking. Pressure equals force divided by surface area. I was cut severely by the thorns on the bush and absolutely covered in mud, but I had a practical assessment that I couldn't miss. So I showed up to university anyway, covered in mud and blood, only to find out the assessed practical was shifting through seal shit to find fish ear bones for 3 hours. Not sure if it was really quicksand, but it felt like it. And reflecting years later, this was almost certainly the most stupid and dangerous thing I've ever done. Hope you like the story. Keep up the good work, Jake. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
And it also reminded me of an incident I was involved in just down the road from there.
Was it quicksand related?
Yeah. So, across the other side of the harbour from Portsmouth is a town called Gosport, where I grew up. I was born in Portsmouth, but I grew up in Gosport. Literally, it's hard to describe, but around the side of the harbour from exactly that incident. So I presume it's the same mud. So I know exactly what he means. This grey, sticky mud at low tide. It does go cracked and kind of the top maybe centimetre or so does bake in the sun. So it looks like a rock.
Yeah.
And I was on a shipwreck out in the little harbour bit, a place called Hardway. People from that area will know it. And I was about 20 or 30 metres out, jumping on rocks onto the shipwreck. But I couldn't really remember the way I'd got onto the shipwreck. I was with another friend, and a couple of our friends were on the shore still, and they were throwing rocks.
It's like a fucking Enid Blyton's.
No, I promise you, it's absolutely true. It was like a rusted old kind of ship. I don't know why. It wasn't massive. It was a small,
you're collecting
small
steel for your giga cutters.
Yeah, yeah. And I tried to jump back, and I probably sunk up to my shins, and me and my mate had to really struggle back. And I was really worried because I thought, shit, my mum and dad are going to kill me because I've basically ruined these trainers, ruined these jeans. I'm in big trouble. When I got home, though, and my mum was out and it was only my dad, and he looked over his paper and just went, oh, yeah, boys will be boys. You go and put them in the washing machine. Mm. You'll be fine. Don't tell your mum. I didn't. So I could have easily gone the way of Jake.
Right, okay.
But that's terrifying, isn't it?
Didn't somebody sort of make the point that everybody has a situation where they think that avoiding quicksand is going to be way more important in their lives.
But the thing is, it's definitely not quicksand. It's similar. I understand what Jake means, but it's more like a...
Oh, sorry, I was just preparing a bit of audio.
A break into song. It's definitely not quicksand, but it is a very, very sticky and dangerous mud. If you've ever been to Glastonbury, when it rains and it dries up a bit and then you keep losing your shoes in that stickiness, it's like that, but about 20 foot deep.
That is horrible. Yeah. That genuinely gives me the chilly willies, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't care. Thanks for that, Jake. Good story.
Lovely old job. Well, I'm sorry. I'm glad you didn't die. That's the main thing. Julian Assange. Darren Smith has got in touch. Hello, Darren Smith. Hi, guys. Emailing you from hot and humid Durham, North Carolina. I would like to vent about a truly humiliating experience that I suffered at a fine secondary school in Oxfordshire when I was maybe 14 years young. I was in the middle of a very fine game, or having a very fine game for the school's football team against our local rivals, when I spotted my mum on the sidelines gesticulating furiously towards me. She had no intention of attending the game, and it caused me to wonder why she had shown up. I ignored her frantic waving at first, but it wasn't long before she was more vocal. Come here! You're in big, big trouble!
Oh dear.
I continued to ignore her until half time, at which point she walked on the pitch and demanded that she take me home that very moment. Very embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Turns out my parents had received a letter from my school informing them that I was to be suspended for hitting a girl. They were shocked and appalled, as well they might be. I fiercely protested my innocence, but my claims fell on deaf ears. They simply couldn't get over the fact that I hit a girl. Turns out it was all a huge administrative error, and the culprit was someone in a lower year who shared the same first and last name as me. The school office had simply sent the letter to the wrong address. The wrongdoing was only acknowledged the next day when I tried going to school, and my parents wanted to check if I was actually allowed to be in there.
Huh.
We still won the footy game. The other team was proper shite, but imagine in the middle of a game being accused of striking a lady.
And also... Absolutely, and my best friend Jimmy, he always is, there was a kid with exactly the same name in the year below, and he called it out for that.
Is that why he decided to be a fruitarian, so that he could be set apart from the other one that
possibly
wasn't?
Possibly, yeah. He's not a fruitarian anymore, though.
Yeah, I think, but that's how I know him.
A preposterous lifestyle. I think he realised after a while it was ridiculous. But you know when you're. Can you stop doing that, please?
It keeps on restarting.
I'm getting used to this new
wire I've got, that's all.
This new system.
New system.
Which is basically your laptop.
Well,
which you use every day.
But I don't worry about the sound coming out.
So I was legitimately more scared of my parents than I probably was the police when I was a kid.
Right.
And if your mother came in the middle of a football game and took you away, I'll be thinking, my God, this is serious.
My mum was very sort of hands off, so I don't think I'd be that. I'd be a bit concerned that she'd even turned up, to be honest. So yeah. If she just
did your dad
shouting.
Do most of the disciplining, did he?
No, I never did anything wrong. I think they would only discipline me when they were in the house with me. They would never come out, like they'd never go out to find me. That would be a weird situation that they could even know where I was, really.
Yeah. I remember once, my mum has always been quite tough. I remember once walking back from school with my friend, James, not Jimmy, another James.
Right.
And we got accosted by these guys who are a lot older than us, and they gave us a couple of slaps, pushed us around a bit. And I already had a broken arm at the time, so I had my arm in a plaster cast. And got back to the house. Obviously, I was a bit scared. I was probably crying. Yeah. I was only about 10. And my mum was like, what's happened? And I told her. And she's like, right. Okay, fine. Stay here. And she got her bike out from the shed and started cycling around, tried to find the two kids who did it.
Mother justice.
Yeah. She reckoned she found them. We gave them a proper dressing down, took them home to their parents, said they should be ashamed. All this stuff. And I was like, mum, bloody hell, you're going to make this worse, it?
Yeah.
If they find out,
yeah.
It's me. I want to get another kick in.
Yeah.
But we live quite near a really rough part of town, and they were probably from there. And to put it in perspective, one of my earliest memories is walking back through there with my dad and a woman chucking clothes out of a window to a man in the front garden who was complaining, who then was saying, sorry, 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 and then got so angry that he set a car on fire. So that's the kind of area we're talking about.
Wow.
Yeah. So
sounds like the X-Men's Academy.
Yeah. So I'm pleased to hear that emailer's tale was a tale of mistaken identity. And he wasn't in trouble. And more importantly, he didn't strike a woman.
No. Do you reckon that your mum just pretended that she'd given them
probably,
dressing down and found? Yeah, just to set your mind
She definitely
rest.
Went out on a bike. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened because I was too scared to go.
It's weird that I remember sort of being in a situation, I was probably a little bit older, but and my friend had a broken arm and we had to run to knock on someone's door because there was some big lads, like it was about 18, was kicking shit out of it, like us. Yeah. Like just they just walked past us, and then they just like, I remember one of them shouted, "Somebody stop me!" Like the mask. So it was then, basically, well, whenever that year came out. I hope it wasn't that.
I bet he thought he was really cool at the time.
Somebody stop me. And nobody could because they were ferocious with their punching. Just punched everyone.
That's
kicked
everyone. Horrendous.
Just, it's weird what the question, young men, angry young men will do.
The question you never wanted
have to... Have a wank.
They probably were doing that as well. Yeah. The question you never wanted to hear when you're walking through this area near I lived was sometimes you'd hear a, "Oi, mate. Yeah, oi, mate." Yeah, you'd turn around and they'd go, "What shoe size are you?" And you'd be like, "Fuck." Because you wanted to say the shoe size, which meant they couldn't steal your shoe.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
Because they would just take your trainers. If you walked with new shoes on, or trainers, they would just try and take them.
Well, just don't give them your number.
And the thing I resent looking back on it now is, you're going to take my shoes off and check anyway, so why are you even asking me?
Right, okay.
You know,
jump in the quicksand, you'll never find them.
I should have. Anyway, that's enough time for this week. We'll come back on Monday. This weekend is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landings.
Okay.
First time
so
man
kick the shit out of an astronaut.
So on Monday we're going to bring an astronaut in. We're going to bring Buzz Aldrin in, and he's going to punch us both in the face.
Yes.
Have like a good that. Weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
See yous.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.